Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Right now on the BT and Sal Show, we welcome in the man whose number hangs in our rafters here in the Mike Francesa studio, Alex Rodriguez. What's up, A-Rod?
What's up, Sal? What's up, BC? Good to be here, man.
Yeah, it's awesome to have you. I appreciate you doing this. We certainly appreciate you doing this, and we got a chance to talk some ball here. I mean, listen, Alex, everybody's going to have a rough night. So the game one, you know, Heel hadn't pitched in a while. Yankees got smacked around. Weaver obviously didn't get the job done. What happened yesterday was stunning to me, and I want to start here. The Yankee at-bats, or their approach is all out of whack. What are you seeing? Because they just look like a different team.
Yeah, no, BT, look, I'll tell you this. I was shocked by Max Fried. I thought he would come up and throw a big game, but, you know, he's human and that's an egg. But what I wasn't surprised is a top-tier type pitcher dominating this offense. Now, we never knew that this Yu Savage guy would be that good. But he had him dancing in a rocking chair all night with the change of split. It reminded me of Mike Scott against the Mets back in the 86 series. It was, you know, incredible.
You know, A-Rod, speaking my language, 86 Mets. We'll get into a year to remember a little bit later on, as I know that's a common bond that we have. How challenging is that for a team? Is that more on the pitcher just being as nasty as can be? Or is that the offense struggling? Is it the first-time matchup? Like, do you expect a different result if there's a Game 5? Take me through the mind of a hitter when facing a pitcher as nasty as that for the first time.
It's hard, right? Because here's a young man who had 23 starts. 14 of those were an A-ball. So that's a gift and a curse because no one has any experience against him. Usually, the more you see a pitcher, advantage starts to, you know, tilt towards the hitter. But nevertheless, I mean, 11 strikeouts in 5 innings and 8 of them on that change split, it was like they could not see it. They couldn't pick it up. He also has a very unique over-the-top delivery, which you don't see very often. And he had him dancing. But you know, the most frustrating part, guys, is that when you look at the barometer, right? Let's use 09 because that's the last time we won a title. 1-7, we had the same lineup basically for 5 years. You go from Jeter, Damon, Tex, A-Rod, Matsui, Posada, and Cano. Yeah. And, you know, when you talk about 2004, what happened, the meltdown, the tragic meltdown, right, which I was right in the center of, you know, we had to feel ourselves off the ground. And 5 years later in 09, we had exactly the same roster. Now, what happened in 04, there wasn't much continuity. We were all new to the thing. And at the end of the day, we had a bunch of great players. And I said last night in the telecast, great players do not win titles. Great teams do. And in 04, we had great players. But in 09, we finally became a team and finished the mission.
I got to tell you, I love the way you framed that. And Derek even said something very similar. Listen, of course, Aaron Judge is going to get all the heat here. Even though he's got a high average, he's not hitting with any any sort of oomph. He's not really banging the ball around the yard. And Derek said, hey, listen. And he ran through every single name, you know, 1 through 9. It's everybody's fault. A lot of empty at bats here. And it only is going to get worse made by the pressure. And nobody can speak to the pressure more than you. So what do you think that back to Judge, what do you think the Judge is feeling at this point? Championship-less still, an amazing player, and a game away from being bounced. What is he thinking right now? What does he feel tomorrow night?
Well, I mean, baseball is a unique sport, right? It's unlike, you know, Tom Brady coming down and he has the ball, or Magic Johnson or Michael Jordan. They ultimately control the last play because it's in their hands. The greatest player of all time is Barry Bonds. He never won a title. Here's what I can tell you guys is that I had incredible players around me. And, you know, we are lucky to be witnessing one of the greatest players of all time, one of the greatest human beings that I've ever been around as a young player when I was, you know, he started to come up and I just started seeing his habits, the way he behaves. I mean, he is one of a kind. And I think it's a mistake if all we want to talk about is, you know, his shortcomings. The way you get Judge going is you got to have everyone talks about who's hitting behind him. What's more important is who's hitting in front of him. And he had one situation with a base loaded. He came up short. He made a bastard pitch 3-2 split. I think the mistake on that at bat, and that means that when you're a little bit on your heels, he got the best pitch was a fastball right down Broadway and he didn't budge. And I knew after he took that, that was the last good pitch he was going to see. And that was the case. But the more you can get guys in front of him, create traffic, Aaron Judge is never going to be your problem. And you're looking at a roster here that in the course of 6 or 7 years, he's going to play with like 150 different guys. There's no continuity. He's the only guy standing. Now imagine a world where you have Soto, like you had last year, Soto and Judge. Wouldn't it be nice to have that for 3 or 4 years? You have a one and out. It's hard to build continuity that way.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We're talking with Alex Rodriguez. Catch him on the Fox pre- and post-game show. Does a great job alongside Kevin Burkhardt, our friend, Big Poppy, Derek Jeter there. By the way, A-Rod, like, do you have to pick the Yankees every time? You and Jeter picking the Yankees. Like, we get it.
I can't help myself out.
Come on. You're a Met fan. You grew up a Met fan. Be unbiased with the picks.
Yeah. Well, I would. Listen, Mets are my second favorite team. You know, I grew up a Mets fan. Hernandez and Doc and Strawberry. But, you know, the Mets are in Cancun already. I can't cheer for them.
And, of course, we learned that from Juan Soto's Instagram post. So let me just ask you flat out. You think this series is over?
No, I don't. I don't. Look, they've been atrocious up in Rogers. I don't know what the hell's going on up there. But I heard you guys earlier that you guys are both correct. And, by the way, you guys do a great job. I really enjoy listening to you guys. Really smart stuff. I just tune off when you guys talk football because I'm not a football guy. But
well, the Canes finally looking good. Yeah. Not that we get into that, but I'm sure you're into that.
Sal, thank God. My Hurricanes, we've had a bunch of head fakes the last 15 years, and we're finally back, and we're number 2, and I'm just praying to God we can get the glory days back.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't think it's over. Look, they've been terrible up there. They're 1-7. They've actually dominated the Jays here at home in the Bronx. They've won 4 out of 6. And all it takes is one game to change this thing. You know, Derek's been talking about it, Jeter, on the telecast the last few nights. Is, you know, October is about momentum and is about narratives. And you throw a big shutdown, you win a game 8-1, get the fans going. You got Cam going game 4. And you never know. If you're Max Fried, you just want one more chance at it. But it starts with one win, one pitch at a time. No time to feel sorry. There's a time to be positive and try to come together as a team.
Hey, Alex, by the way, does Cam remind you of anybody in baseball history?
Boy, that performance is unbelievable. You know, Curt Schilling on his prime when it was in Phoenix and Boston. I mean, just the ability to, you know, throw that fastball that you know is coming is a straight heater. And by the way, BT, you've been on this all year. When we went to lunch, you said to me exactly, I think this guy Cam can give us 7 innings and punch out 10. So you're a bit of a prophet. But what I like most is his composure, his size. The ball comes off his hand. It comes out hot. And
yeah,
he looks like he's been there, and he looks like a winning player, and he's got the composure of a champion. But the biggest thing this roster can do, hey, look, it's a really strange roster when you have 3 catchers, you have a handful of DHs. It's just really hard to navigate. And I think Boone gets way too much flack. I think he's a good manager. I said this joking around in jest, but I kind of mean it. You take all the bean counters in the month of October, you lock them up in a boiler room and let them stay there till mid-November. If you're Cashman, you know, trust your fans, trust your manager, trust your players, No micromanaging. You got to have instincts, and you have to have guts.
Yeah.
And you have to trust your eyes.
I want to follow up on Boone. All right. So, Torrey had an amazing array of players, okay? Girardi, we talked about 09, had an amazing 1-7, and CeCe comes in, Burnett comes in. We know what they had, champions, right? To me, Aaron Boone's had a million first basemen, a million third basemen, a million left fielders, five catchers, five center fielders, four different closers. I'm not saying he's Miller Huggins, Alex. I'm not even saying he's necessarily Joe Torrey. But the heat that Boone gets, like, to me, show me, and it might be this series, quite frankly, but show me the series that Aaron Boone has lost that he was supposed to win, where he was favored. I don't think there's many of those series.
You know, it's funny, Sal, they talk about, you know, in politics, you talk about big government and you talk small corporate, or you talk about small corporate, big government. To me, the shift has been when Joe Torre and Lou Piniella were the managers, they had all the power. That has shifted up to the front offices. So for me, who I want to listen to after the games is not necessarily Boone because he's not making all his decisions. I want to listen to Mike Fishman and Cashman and who's making these decisions and help the fans understand why we're doing the things. The why has to be explained. And I just feel that Boone is a mouthpiece and he's a wonderful manager. And I don't think he should be fired. I think he has an incredible future, but he's been dealt a very, very tough hand.
Yeah.
And he has to answer for front office decisions that he's not making.
Yes.
I actually think Boone's very good.
You think Cashman still has the fastball that he had a couple of years ago or 10? Do you think he's still the same effectiveness?
Well, I don't know if anyone can be the same for 30 years. I mean, that is a long time, but you know, it's, and I don't know Mike Fishman as well. He was there a little bit. I know 09, we used very, very little front office things. We, you know, Joe Girardi run shop. We had a great captain, Derek Jeter. We had continuity across the board. We knew exactly what everyone was going to do on every situation. There was no surprises. We knew who the seventh inning guy was, the eighth inning. And of course we had Mo. We knew who was going to lead off. We knew who, I'll tell you this, right before the game six of the World Series, I always had a hard time against Pedro Martinez. And I was kind of trying to think about what was going to be my game plan in game six when Andy Pettit faced Pedro. And about an hour before the game, I'm sitting there with Matsui and I'm taping my ankles. Gene Monahan and Steve Donahue is taping his ankles. And I look over to Matsui and I say, Matsui, what are you going to do with Pedro today? What's your game plan? And he just smiled. And, you know, Matsui is just a classy act, very monotone. He says to me, oh, I see the ball well. I said, how well? He goes, you know, I see the ball sometimes like a softball. I said, shoot, sometimes I see the ball like a golf ball, Pedro. So yeah. Once he told me that 45 minutes before the game, my approach had changed. I just said, I have to pass the baton and put Matsui in a situation where he can do damage. And sure enough, two home runs, a double, and an MVP later, and a title. Mm. But that only happens with continuity and having a relationship with all your teammates.
BT and Sal on the fair. We're talking with Alex Rodriguez. Catch him on the FS1. The Fox family, pre- and post-games around these playoff games here, does a great job with Jeter, Ortiz, and, of course, Kevin Burkhardt leading the way. You know, you talk about Boone and being a manager. One of my favorite things about you, A-Rod, has always been your passion, knowledge, and love for the game. Lots of managerial openings. You thinking about diving back in at some point to be a big league manager?
No, never, never. I love the game so much. I get my fix from Fox, where I do the All-Star Game, playoffs, and World Series. And I have two daughters, one a junior in college and the other one who's a senior in high school. And I have my hands full with a lot going on.
Well, one thing you don't have to worry about is cutting those Michigan checks, because even though they're not cheap, I'm sure A-Rod's got a few bucks in the bank, huh, buddy? That college, that's not an issue for you.
Dude, hey, but speaking of which, that place on Instagram, I've been following along on A-Rod's Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
What is that? Is that like your LA home, that pool? Oh, my God, that looks beautiful out there overlooking the hills.
Oh, man, I feel so sorry for you, Sal, if you're looking at my Instagram. I'm sorry about that.
I wanted to prep for the interview.
Anytime you're out here, you can come over. We can watch a little football, a little baseball, watch your Mets, watch your Jets, whatever you want to do.
Yeah, and by the way, Sal,
I'm on the next flight. I'll leave my wife and kid at home, A-Rod. Don't tempt me. I'll be out there.
Dude, he'll take you up on it, man. Trust me. He'll be knocking on your door. You'll be sitting next to Poppy and Jeets. He'll be on your doorstep.
I'll bring the food. Don't worry about it.
Alex, he said to me, when I told him we were going to lunch, he's like, what? I can't go. I'm like, no, not yet. You know, we gotta do our thing. Is Sal, can he come to the next one or no?
By the way, absolutely. Sal's always invited. And BT, we got to go back to that place. That was good. Outstanding with great pasta.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I could have had five beers there instead of two. I know you just got back from vacation. let me ask you about this here. Back to Boone and back to two things that bother me. Number one, Luke Weaver is unpitchable at this point, in my opinion. And then obviously you tell me if you disagree. That's the first thing. And when you're going to have a pitcher go into a situation that he's not accustomed to, like Will Warren coming in with two on, nobody out, in the middle of an inning. And I like Boone, and I defend Boone. I think he's good, but I thought that those were two bad decisions. How did you unpack both of those things?
I mean, look, when your eighth pitcher, you know, can't get through the fourth inning, Boone's hands are tied, right? I mean, I think Boone gets paid the big bucks for making the decisions. Who comes in the seventh or eighth inning? Does he take somebody in when you're protecting the lead? You can make arguments against or for. But, BC, you don't win that game, losing game, because, you know, Boone made that mistake. I mean, to me, you lose that game when I always say in October, contact is king. And, you know, the Yankees strike out 21 times versus 7 of the Blue Jays, which means you have 14 times, if you're the Blue Jays, an opportunity for something good to happen. Mm-hmm. And for the Yankees, whose defense has been pretty shaky all year, you have 14 opportunities to screw up. And there's no gimmies in October because there's pressure and anxiety. And a routine ground ball, I mean, you've seen more bunts being thrown into right field than anything else. So contact's king, and you also have to value 90 feet. And it's hard when you have a marathon of 6 months, you don't care about 90 feet, and then all of a sudden in October you do, but at that time it's too late. You can't execute.
So then, Alex, why would you think then the Yankees could not only win this series from the beginning but come back? Because the Blue Jays do exactly what you're talking about. The Yankees have not. It's been all or nothing. Then why would you feel encouraged that they could come back?
I feel encouraged because they're a much better team at home. I think Rondon has been much, much better this year. He's had a great year. I think the juice of the fans are going to, you know, get them going. But it's important. I can't emphasize how vital it is for them to score a crooked number in the first two innings, get the crowd going, get the ugly memories from game one and two behind them, and play as bullies. Now, yesterday, if you study yesterday's game, BT and Sal, that was a perfect example, a microcosm of who the Yankees have shown to be for the past 2 or 3 years. You have a top-tier pitcher who dominated them. They couldn't, went through them like water. They bring in a secondary and tertiary bullpen for the Blue Jays. They destroy them like bullies.
Mm-hmm.
They bring back their setup, and they shut them down again. So in a matter of 9 innings, we saw the evolution of who the Yankees have been. They beat up on bad pitching. And for the most part, they have not been able to manufacture runs against elite pitching.
All right, so Alex, if that's the case, and it is, they struck out 50 times, they've got 10 walks, this has been a problem for years with the Yankees. If that's the case, that's why, and I'm not trying to pull you into it, you know.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Barry Cashman conversation here, but that's fundamentally, to me, one of the biggest issues with the Yankees. When you can't handle good pitching, you can't tell me that you built the right way. And this happens every single season.
Well, I mean, Sal, all you have to do is look at the really good moves that Cashman made this year, and they're pretty subtle, right? But McMahon has transformed this team, and McMahon reminds me a lot of what Scott Brosius did when you have guys like, you know, Jimmy Key, David Wells, Andy Pettit. Historically, Yankee pitching, Ron Guidry, it's heavy left-handed pitching, as this roster. And when you have stability there, where you know McMahon's going to be really, really good and very confident defensively, that's been a game changer. You have Rosario and Caballero. Now you give two options to Boone to have out of the bench. It's just common sense. I think sometimes the data and analytics teams, they get so involved and so in the weeds. Man, you just need to have someone give you 6 or 7 innings, give me a bullpen, give me someone that can catch the ball, some good contact, some good timely hitting, hit behind the runners. But you got to get back to playing the game of baseball, teaching the game of baseball, and stop depending on iPads.
Amen, man. Talking to Alex Rodriguez, of course, A-Rod, BT and Sal, and you catch Alex on the Fox, whether it's Fox the National or FS1. They were yesterday, of course, Big Poppy, Jeets, Kevin Burkhardt, who we know and love. So Alex, what is your opinion? I know that baseball is incredibly unpredictable. Like, if you're a star NBA player, you generally flash right away. You know, baseball, the curve is a little different here. It's year 3 for Volpe. You and I have texted about this. We've talked about Anthony Volpe's development. Like, what kind of player should he be in your eyes based on the skill set, where he is now? What is your take? I know what it is, but I want everybody to know what you think about Volpe.
You know, what I think about Volpe, I think Volpe has an ability to be a very good major league shortstop. I would love, and I only say this, guys, because I was privileged enough to have a guy like Larry Boa, Willie Randolph, Luis Soho, guys who were just great teachers. Sam Perlazzo, going back to my Seattle days, some unbelievable teachers of the game of baseball. And I'm not sure what's being taught for a kid like Volpe, but I wish he had 2 weeks with the great Larry Boa, and I'm telling you, this kid can be an all-star. And you look at, I don't know if you got had a chance to see the late games with Seattle. Polanco hits 2 home runs. And if you look at it from the side, it looks like he's just throwing his hands. It looks like, and BT, we talk about this, just being a good hitter, quiet the body, stay on top of the baseball and throw his hands. I mean, it looks like hit and runs. It just, you know, Torrey taught me this, you know, in big moments, think small and big things will happen. And sometimes you see these helicopter swings from Volpe with 2 strikes. I'm thinking it's Reggie Jackson. He's going down to 1 knee.
Yeah.
That's not ability. That's whoever's, and I think they have a great coaching staff. I just don't know what's being taught, because what I would do is I would get, you know, all the Derek Jeter films he can have, study it. Just like I studied Cal Ripken, I would study, because great students, great players are great students, and he just has to stay on top of the ball, use his legs, put down strikeouts by 50%, and I think he could be a dynamic player. But what his approach right now is my biggest issue.
I agree with you.
I don't want home runs.
I'm sorry, my bad. I agree with you, but I guess the question is, at what point are you too far down the road with an approach that it's almost impossible to change at that level?
I'm telling you, if you met Larry Boa 2 weeks, he'll change everything. I mean,
wow.
It's just an approach, right? Like, he has an approach that it's almost like he has a lob wedge in his hand. And what I want to do is I want him to stay on top of the ball and think like he's chopping at the ball. Because, look, if they throw you 100 fastballs right down the middle and you swing, you're going to be, if you miss them, you're going to miss 100% underneath them. You're never going to swing over a four-seam fastball. So you almost have to trick yourself and think on top of the baseball, inside, I'm actually going to hit an imaginary baseball that's on top of the baseball, and you're going to make a lot more contact. But you got to swing down through the ball and then finish high. But I think what they're teaching is scoop the ball, like go underneath. And if you're Aaron Judge and you're some of those great ones, Stanton, that's great. But Stanton and Judge are completely different than Volpe, and it looks like they're selling the same book for all players, and it's not a custom-made suit.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We're talking with Alex Rodriguez, of course, lifelong Met fan like myself. A-Rod, what happened to our Mets this year?
Hey, listen, I'm a huge, huge Mets believer, and here's what I would tell you. It's continuity, guys. Like, look, when you're a trader, and I'm not talking about Steve Cohen or anyone, but when you come from data and analytics, you put very little value on the human element, the ability to play. Just because you hit 30, 40 home runs in Seattle or Anaheim or here, doesn't mean you're going to come to the box of New York where you have really, really smart fans, passionate. Those pinch reps are heavy, and that doesn't mean you're going to be able to perform there and at the highest level. So I don't know. that's a tricky one.
Well, I got one for you here. So you weren't too far away from owning the Mets. Let's say if you would have won that and you did own the Mets, how would you treat Pete Alonso's free agency? Because we know what he is with the defense, which isn't great, not an athlete, right-handed stuff, but an amazing power hitter. How would you value him?
Well, to me, Sal, you can't make decisions based on, you know, what do you want to do for this year? I think you have to look at windows, right? What's our 3-year window? What's our 5-year window? And if Alonso fits in that window, then you sign him. But you have to start building some continuity. And the only way you get the big ROI is think about you guys. You guys are great, and you're better this year than you were 3 years ago. And you're going to be a lot better in 3 years than you are today. It's just a matter of getting better. It's like brothers and sisters, right? Like, you can finish each other's sentences. Well, my God, don't you think that helped me to play 15 years next to Derek Jeter? Mm. I knew everything he wanted to do and back and forth. Could you find a better third baseman? Sure. Could you find a better shortstop? I don't think so. But together, we were pretty darn dynamic.
Oh, stop, dude. Stop being so humble. Stop being so humble.
No, you know what I mean.
Come on. I know what you mean. You were the better shortstop. Stop. Come on. Come on.
No, but playing together helps. And I think,
I get
you. You know, are you going to do a big transformation and change the roster over again?
Yeah.
And that's going to take another 2 or 3 years.
Yep.
By the way, I think we're learning why, BT, you got invited to the launch.
Yeah.
A-Rod clearly thought he was asking me to go.
And it was... First time I ignored it. Second time, it's BT, it's not Sal. Come on, A-Rod.
No, it's all right. We both sound alike. Okay. We get that. A-Rod, how about your this is Sal here. Yankee legacy. Are you happy with where you I noticed you weren't at Old Timers Day. I'd like to know why, but are you happy with your New York Yankee legacy?
Oh, man, Sal, I couldn't be happier, honestly. Like, with all the stuff that I put myself through and some of the pain that cost myself and my family, I've learned so much. I'm in such a good place. I love the New York Yankees. They treated me fantastic, and I was invited to Old Timers Day a couple years ago. It was an honor. I sprinted there. And anytime they invite me back, I'm always here to help. But I'm very happy with my situation.
How much you missed the game, man? I mean, you talk about like rats, gym rats. You were a baseball rat, you cage rat, you ground ball rat, just a baseball rat. How about you have to miss the game tremendously?
Well, I miss being around young players. I miss teaching. I try to learn every day, even to this day. I watch every single game. Try to watch every pitch, if not, I record it. Shoot, I watch you guys when you're talking about baseball because I love it so much.
He does.
Been my first love, and it always has been, and it always will be. But I get my fix with Fox. I think we have an incredible group with Poppy and Jeter and then Kevin Burkhardt trying to teach America what we saw through our eyes and make it digestible and fun. And if you guys saw us last night, we were up to like 12 or 1 in the morning, and the wheels were coming off, and we were having a lot of fun.
But that's what you got to do. Like Charles and Kenny and Shaq, when the wheels come off, that's what's great. And that's where I think you talk about whether it's me and Sal doing a show together or continuity with a lineup. Like, the more you can finish a thought and know where the other person's going and know that, like, that trust is obviously there, then you could just be loose, and those are the best broadcasts, man.
Hey, take it's not continuity just in sports. I mean, I was just saying how much he's improved on TV, how much Poppy's improved. I think all of us collectively, we've improved. And we have more confidence, more continuity. We go back and forth a lot more. And, yeah, can you replace me? Can you replace Poppy? Sure, but are we going to be better as a whole?
Yeah.
And, again, teams is what wins and not just individuals, you know, figureheads.
So, Alex, mentioned before about the Mets. Now, you don't own the Mets, but you got a nice chunk of the T-Wolves. So, we're all Knick guys in this city here. Be honest, Cat have the heart to lead this team into June? Are we going to win a championship with Cat? You know him well.
I think Cat is a unique, incredible player. Yes, I think he has the heart, the courage. He has everything that it takes to be a championship player, and you guys have a good one there. I was hoping last year, fellas, for a Timberwolves-Knicks final. That would have been unbelievable. I would have came to your show and hosted with you guys for a day.
Oh, man.
We would have sat in the owner's box with you. There you go.
That would have been sick.
Dude, can Absolutely. We come anyway? We probably could.
Well, you guys can sit with me anyway. You don't need to be in the championship. You guys are my buddies.
That's awesome, man.
Oh, look at A-Rod. Now,
he
really,
needs it,
dude. A-Rod, I'm going to take you up on this. One last thing for me before we let you go. You claim to be an 86 Met. You reference Hernandez and Carter and Straw. Have you seen 1986, A Year to Remember? The VHS tape. Have you ever seen that?
Sal, you didn't just ask me that. You didn't just ask me that, right?
Put him in his place.
Wild Boys, Hot Foot.
Five times.
Hot Foot.
Okay. I'm just making sure.
Like five times I've watched that.
Just
of course,
wanted to
I loved it.
You go. Just wanted to make sure, because that confirms to me, at least, not that you needed to get my approval, but in this case you did, that confirms that you are an 86 Met fan. And A-Rod, I will say this. When I come over to that beautiful place you have there in L.A., I'm bringing the VHS, and we will watch that 1986 You Remember together, because I know we are Mets fans together.
It.
Me and Alex Rodriguez, huge Met fans, BT.
Have fun. Hey, you passed the test, Alex. Don't you feel good? You feel good? You passed Sal's test. Oh, man.
What?
You passed the test. You wanted to see if you were a real Mets guy. Well,
thank you. Definitely.
30 minutes. Very generous with your time. I know you're in transit right now. Tell Nick I appreciate him. Tell him I appreciate him for putting everything together. And keep doing your thing with Poppy and Derek, and the analysis is top flight. And listen, I will say this too. You're making fun of Sal looking at your Instagram. Alex puts out a lot of baseball content for young baseball players, which I love. And there's a lot of parents out there, softball players, baseball. Check it out. You know nobody loves the game more than Alex Rodriguez. So really good stuff, man. Thank you.
Appreciate you guys, and keep up the great work. And hey, maybe the Yankees get a little luck here, and we can do this again in late fall. That'd be awesome.
Oh, let's go, baby. Yankees nice.
Hey,
you got it.
Now you know what?
Let's
now
go.
You got it. There you go, hey, A-Rod. Thank you. Nice. Now we root for the Yankees, because I love to get A-Rod in studio.
He'll come in, too. Yeah. He would come in.
That was fun, man. You know, he was one of my favorite. Remember, too, as a kid for me, I remember being at the Rich Martin baseball camp, which they used to have at Hofstra.
Okay. I remember.
You
I don't
and
know
I might
Rich
have talked
Martin.
About this.
I played against Rich Martin.
Okay, I didn't play. You know, he was a manager
like
at Hofstra at that point.
Sure.
And he would host a camp.
He was good.
I would go with my buddy Nick Whalen, and we went a couple years in a row to the summer camp. It was great.
Yeah, it was good. He was a good coach.
Baseball. Now, at that time, I was probably 15 years old, whatever it may be. But A-Rod, dude, was coming up. I think he was 18 when he first came up with Seattle.
Okay.
And he was like, my God.
He was good.
I loved A-Rod before even really knowing anything about him.
His
power to right center as a right-handed hitter.
Speed, rocket at short. I mean, that's when he was really, you know, lanky still, hadn't really, you know, developed. He was a kid, 18, 19. He was, and the thing about Alex, I don't know if there's, now, the thing that you have to appreciate about Alex at this point is that he owns his mistakes. Like, he complicated his world. Yeah. Like, he made it more tougher than it needed to be. But nobody loves baseball like that guy. And I don't think very many people know baseball like Alex. That was good stuff right there.
BT and Sal on the Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.